Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Core. We talk video games, stuff all the way out from the broad side of the industry right down to what's under your mouse thumb today. None of that made sense. I should really write these things down. I'm Scott Johnson. I got Bo Schwartz here with me. Hi, Bo.
Should I be using a mouse thumb?
I don't know. See, that's what I mean. Like, I don't even thumb this key. Oh, no, I guess I do. Some games I use that little thumb button on your mouse that's all the rage now.
Some mice have like 9 buttons on there. I can't wrap my head around it.
It's too many.
I always push the wrong buttons on the thumb mouse.
Yeah, as it should be. You're supposed to push it. No, I don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing with mice in 2021, but Microsoft's got a new mouse. What's that even about? It's made from recycled diapers or something. What was the deal with that?
Hang on.
Yeah, they just announced this. This was like part of their big announcement when they did their Surface reveals for the new Surface computers. And the thing was, the mouse, their new wireless mouse, or maybe it's wired, but it's a throwback to like those old popular Microsoft mice back in the day in the 90s. And it's used... Oh, ocean plastic, not diapers. Shit. Sorry, ocean plastic.
Ocean plastic.
Yeah, so 100%
isn't that where we put all the diapers?
I mean, in a way, like if you're throwing out your diapers in the ocean, then it's ocean plastic. But yeah, these are that's kind of. I mean, that's, you know, it's better than not, I guess, right? You got to give these corporate bigwigs a little grin and a smile once in a while when they do something good. So
I don't know, man. Microsoft, you know, I like some of the things they do, and sometimes you just look at it and go like, wow, what a whiff. I'm looking at the pictures now, and I'm like, it looks like a bar of soap, specialty soap.
Yeah,
it's not like that's going to appeal to people who want to make the computer go with their kitchen like ensemble or something. Like this is not, judging by what's been marketed to gamers in terms of elite equipment and you know, PC enthusiasts. This is not.
Oh,
this
weird.
Is for people who want their computer to look like their furniture in their house, I think.
Okay.
Which there might be a market for it, but it looks awful.
This is now my first time seeing this. This is nuts looking.
It's a bar of soap.
Arc mouse. Bluetooth.
This review I'm reading. In use, the Microsoft Ocean Plastic Mouse feels every bit as cheap as its asking price.
Really?
But I guess it's not very expensive. So it's the Walmart of mice. It even has the color schema for it.
Well, it's let's see. It's $65. That's not I guess it's cheap.
I guess a rich person wrote this article I'm reading. It's so cheap. It moves like its price.
Oh, chat room saying, JC Calhoun saying that's not the right mouse. So the Arc mouse is not the one they're doing. Maybe, see, this is the problem is I don't think they've shown the new one. They've just said they're doing it.
This one says $25 Microsoft Ocean plastic mouse. Here, I'll link what I'm.
Oh, maybe
there's a lot of pictures on what I'm looking at. Also, a lot of ads. Sorry in advance.
Oh, now I see it. This is ugly.
Yeah, it looks like I had this in my bathroom. I washed my body with it. Like, I'm so unexcited by the idea of like sweet a mouse for my computer. Like, you know,
you wash your nature's pocket with this.
Yeah, and I mean, like, people sat around a boardroom and said, like, "Hey, this looks like a good product idea. How exciting!"
It's really
for a launch of our Windows. I'm assuming it's just part of the Windows 11, you know, launch.
Yeah,
thing, it's all right. Part of making a cool new mouse, but like,
yeah. Not a great looking mouse. I think that Arc mouse looks cool. This is weird looking.
And it's made with 20% recycled ocean plastic. So the whole, it's like kind of half-assed or one-fifth-assed. Like, yeah.
One-fifth-assed. I like it. Well, anyway, I'm not buying one, I can tell you that.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm great. I love, like, these companies working towards zero emissions. Apple's trying to do it. Other people are trying to do it. And, you know, I think it's cool. It makes a difference, especially the big guys like this. I'm not sure this is the one. So there you go.
No.
But, speaking of which, do you have Windows 11 yet? Did you do that?
No. Is it out?
Yeah, I think you can do it now. I think it's just a thing you can do.
I'm a little nervous. You'll remember that I have, you know, basically a lich for a computer at this point. But not a powerful lich, like a not very powerful lich. That, yeah. It's, you know, my computer I bought in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
It's now 2021, going on 2022.
I think that's amazing you've got that much life out of that thing. That's incredible.
I mean, it's an i7. Of course, it's like the motherboard, all that stuff, not optimized for things. But it runs everything. And I've been upgrading the video card over the years. So, I mean, it's not a preserved. And I've tossed in a new power supply. So, like, I keep humming and hawing. And like, I want to splurge on, you know, this decade's nice big machine. But, like, the stuff I keep building is in the 4,000 to 5,000 range. And I'm like, oh, I'm saving my pennies. I want to get, like, a Mongo computer. Because then I'll be going another 20 years with the same one, pretty much. So.
Yeah, I'm really
but
impressed.
But I'm close. Actually. I'm getting close.
Like, I'm impressed with how long you've stretched that thing out. But it came out on the 5th, for the record. So October 5th was the day. That was 2 days ago.
And, I also keep buying consoles. Like, I bought an Xbox, and then I bought a Switch, and I think I'm going to get a Quest pretty soon.
I want a Quest. Or not a Quest. I want a... I have a Quest. I have a Quest 1, but it's kind of broken. But I want the... what's the damn Steam thing? The Steam Deck. I want that.
Yeah, the Steam Deck looks amazing, too. It looks cool.
I saw somebody
playing... It's technically kind of a PC, too.
It is, basically. Somebody was playing Witcher 3 on it on some video I saw today, and it looked pretty good.
So. It probably puts my computer to shame. My big, old box over here.
It might. You can always plug it into a monitor and find out. But anyway, I haven't done it yet. I haven't pulled the trigger on my gaming PC because I like to let these things simmer a little bit with OS changes. We'll see what happens. I don't want to make it so I can't play games at all. That would be a real shame because then we couldn't talk about this stuff. Yeah, that's right. We couldn't talk about games and gaming news. And we're going to start today with a new Diablo 4 lead has been added to the show or to the game. The other guy left.
Yeah, he's joining us. He's joining us on the show.
Oh, I forgot to mention, John's not here. He had he had a family thing.
Oh yeah, we got it. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, did I mention that? I think I said a pre-show and I thought I got it out of the way. John's had a family thing tonight. He couldn't be here. So we are forging on without him. That's why he's not here. If you're watching the live stream, you're seeing John with a can on his head while he parties with some near naked men. And we'll discuss that next week to find out how that went for him. But he's not here. If you didn't notice, he's not freaking here.
He'll be back. He
shall return. Absolutely will. New Diablo game runner is what I'm trying to say. I keep saying show. Joe Shelley will serve as the new game director for Diablo 4. Previous dude out of there. We never got a ton of details as to what that was about, other than I think he was tied to the Cosby Suite stuff a little bit or something.
I saw his name floating around. He might have been in that picture. I don't know.
some of those guys, really, I feel bad.
I've really not been following it, but yeah.
I feel slightly bad for a couple of folks who were in some of that because they just showed up because people said, hey, come up to suite number whatever, we're hanging out. And then they came up and someone snapped a picture and they were barely there and they went to sleep early. Like, I feel bad for those guys, but I don't know if that's who this guy was. The guy,
it's unclear. It's that it doesn't look worse than what actually happened, even though there were some definitely bad actors.
Yeah, involved. Of course.
Like, you know, it's just hard to know. So you always, I'm always wondering, was Jeff Kaplan part of this? Was Tig Ol Biddies, you know, one of these guys, or it was he just sick of the place, or, you know, collateral, like, you know, it just second guessing everything. I have to assume a couple of those dudes are just like, you know, I'm one out.
Yeah.
Or I want to move on, or it's nothing to do. I didn't do anything bad.
Yeah. I know that there, I know in at least two cases that's true, but in, there were some guys, they were definitely skeevy chuckleheads that were up to no good. And anyway, as the internet is, it's everything out with the bathwater, including the baby. But in this case, the guy that left was Luis Bargia, who was, So now it's, so it says here he departed following allegations related to the state of California lawsuit. So we don't know exactly what his specific role is in that, but he's out of there. New guy in. I think the message there is Diablo 4 continues to be developed. And if you're looking forward to that game, well, by gum, they're making it. So,
I mean, I'm happy to hear this. In spite of all that's happened, I really want to be able to play this game. I'm still like really excited to play Diablo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm probably going to buy and play this. No matter, well, maybe not, no matter what happens, but
it's I will 100% buy and play Diablo 4. At the same time, I will be very, very interested in Blizzard cleaning up their poop, Activision at the bigger scale, and really doing something meaningful. But yeah, I'm going to play Diablo 4. I have to. I got to play Diablo 4. Are you kidding me? I have to play Diablo 4, right?
And if you know, if you follow what the company's at least trying to do, the company's definitely making an outward show. Many of us in disagreement or in poor taste or whatever, but they are making an outward show of trying to sanitize their games of these kinds of issues. So there is someone on some level trying to think about at least the quality of the product, if not the quality of the workplace, in terms of those values, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. If I'm just hoping that there's a, I'm hoping I can play this and not have to think about any of that other stuff.
The reason I haven't picked up or tried 2 was partly because I'm still sort of feeling the aftermath of the sting of all this. But part of it is I wanted to hear what friends and reviewers had to say, because I had a sneaking suspicion that what this was going to do was going to give everybody a really great reliving of an old game. And it seems like it's done that, but that's all it's done. And at the end of the day, I may want to fiddle around in there, but I don't want to play it. I played so much Diablo 2 back in the day, over and over and over. I don't think I want to do that again. And also, some people I really trust played the 2 Resurrected and said, this is really faithful and exactly what fans wanted, and it's all that. And that's good. I'm glad they did that. But you very quickly start to remember, oh, yeah, there's a lot of quality of life stuff that Diablo 3 did and other action RPGs have done since that learned from this game and moved on and did them slightly better in some ways. And you're going to miss those things, and you do miss those things. And so I don't want to feel that way. You know, I want to just, I'm going to play 4. That's what's going to be. That's the life of mine. That's my future. I'll play 4. All right.
Yeah. I don't think we have to rationalize it. I just think there's so many remakes and remasters. You almost feel like you're being a party pooper. You know, people are very excited about these games they have nostalgia for.
Yeah.
But it happened to me with Mass Effect. I started playing it and I went like, I can't do this. You know, like it's not because it wasn't good. It's just the graphics suck. You know, and it's of its era. And I don't know. This is an experience I've had before. I don't know that this game is that good that I need to experience it a second time.
Yeah. That's how I feel too. Yeah. I fell off middle of 2 with that remaster because I think it's a really good remaster, but it's that thing of, you know, I never played 1, so in a way, 1 was new to me with all the jank included. No matter what they did to make it better, it was worth doing because I hadn't played it. But I played 2 and 3 pretty extensively. And so I got to the middle of Mass Effect 2 and went, oh yeah, I've done this. Why am I doing this again? Like, I probably could do this. I mean, if I've got nothing else to play, fine, but I got so much to play. Why am I doing an old thing? So I don't know.
I mean, sometimes if something's good enough, maybe, but there's been very few cases where I've played a remaster extensively that wasn't something I didn't play before.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Final Fantasy VII doesn't count. It's like a whole other game, just with very familiar things. I think that's the sweet spot, but...
Yeah, remakes.
It's also a big ask. Like,
remakes are a huge ask. Like, the fact that you're still waiting for part two and might be in perpetuity is part of that problem. Like, it's going to take forever to make that game on the scale and scope that it was equal in a modern way. And so far, awesome, right? Amazing job. But, man, I wouldn't hold your breath for however many parts that's going to take. It's going to take forever.
Yeah,
and they haven't even talked about
it. That game is very replayable.
Oh yeah, I mean, I mean, I still want to. What I want them to do is get that on PC like they promised. I guess no one promised. I just think they promised, and so I can play it now. Okay, I don't want to play it on my PlayStation.
I just think remasters would go over better if we weren't getting new games all the time.
Yeah,
if we just had the games we have, and people were like, "Well, here's a better edition of it." Like, sure, I'd love to have a chess set. If I played chess all the time, I'd love to have a more decorative chess set instead of the crappy one I got at, you know, Stokes. I think that's a Canadian store.
Stokes! No, we had Stokes here. No, it was Stokes Brothers. Was it Brothers?
I don't know. They sell, like, mostly plates and cups and, like, pans, yes! But then you can get chess sets and back weird shit like that, too.
I
was always like, oh, we got a chess set for you from Stokes. It was a little fancier, but obviously a low price point still, you know? That kind of thing. So
we had a place called Stokes Brothers, but I don't know if it's the same. And it sold a lot of that same stuff. So it maybe could it was. Be.
It's just called Stokes here, though. Okay. But it's maybe it's a slight different branding because they do that between, you know, countries.
Maybe the brothers are like the Oasis Brothers. They just hate each other now. They don't want to be involved on the.
Yeah, maybe one moved to Canada and went and took their Stokes name with them.
That's a good idea.
You never know. I never really know. I don't know much about it, except I know they sell plates, cutlery, pans, and napkins and stuff, and also weird gaming, like poker accessories for some reason.
It's really weird. Like the worst thing that ever happened with me in chess, there's two things that happened to me. My brother was in high school, and I think I was either in junior high or had just entered high school. He had woodshop, and in woodshop class, they made a chessboard, pretty common project for woodshop. And the chessboard looked great, beautiful wood, nice finish. He did all the details right, except it's one row too many. He measured wrong. So from where the white dudes are and the black dudes are, it's one extra whole row of movement that's in the center of that thing. So I learned and not mastered, but got good at chess on a board with the wrong number of rows. And so when I played somebody who really knew what they're doing on a proper board, nothing I knew about strategy, ideas to start the game or any kind of mid game or end game strategies, all of them are broken because there's no extra row in real chess.
Maybe it's the chess community that's broken. Like StarCraft, you know, it's a competitive thing. They release new maps to provide new challenges and expectations. Like, why does chess always have to be on that size of board? There's literally no reason chess can't have, like, this season of chess, we're doing, you know, 12 by 12 boards with five extra pieces because these guys are... Why is it always the same?
I don't know.
It just seems like someone needs to kick that community in the ass and say, like, come on, look at what's going on in gaming here. Like, can't you... You can spice up your sport a bit, I think.
Just a little bit. But anyway, that was dumb. And then also, when I went to Tijuana, Mexico with my wife for a trip once, we just went down there on a total fluke while we were in San Diego. And we were pretty, I don't know, naive. Didn't really know what to do down there. So we go down there. And before the chat says it, no, we didn't go any donkey shows or whatever they're famous for down there. Muling. No, we didn't do any drug muling either. We went in there. Nice. We go in there and we went to the shopping stuff. And I didn't know how hardcore the sales guys were by sales guys, I mean, whoever they, I don't know who's associated with who, but there was a chessboard and I kind of liked it. I'm like, this is nice. It's made out of, you know, looks like made out of marble and the pieces are heavy and, you know, it's kind of a nice chessboard. And this guy, as soon as he saw me looking at it, just went into, oh, you like this? How about this price? How about this price? Oh, yes, this. And he's just pushing it on me. And I'm not used to that kind of like bizarre. I don't mean he was being bizarre. I mean like a bizarre kind of like sales environment. It's just not my jam. Mm. So I'm like, nah, I'm okay. I'm all the way back in Utah. I can't fly home with this. Oh, yes, but you can. And he just kept telling me all these reasons I had to get it. And he kept going down on price and down on price and down on price. It was started as $100 and I think I was down to like $25 at one point. I'm like, really, oh my God. I really can't do it. So I start to walk away and he makes the rudest comments. I don't remember what they were, but it was like, stupid American coming here and doing this and that. And he's getting all mad. And I'm like, hey, now wait a minute. And he goes, look, if you just take board for 15, how about 10? I give it to you for 10. Like, all right, fine. I'll take your board for 10. So some hotel in San Diego got a free chessboard that I paid $10 for and left.
Oh, you bought it just to like
get out of there. Yeah.
You're just like, let me get out of here and not.
I thought he's going to kill me.
You don't want to ruin his day. Why don't you just walk away? Like, I guess that guy's pissed. Like,
it's weird how they, it feels threatening if you don't. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's one of the weirdest experiences I ever had.
Yeah.
We have not been there since. So
yeah. I can understand doing that if you're just like, like this person, this will be the last I see of this person, but I don't buy his
thing. Yeah, like I figured, well, for $10, he won't follow me back to the car and do something weird, you know, like I'll just get rid of it.
Yeah.
And maybe he wouldn't have, but they sure made me feel like they were. So, and maybe the board was heavy because it was full of coke. I don't know what was going on, but I left it in that hotel. So, San Diego, you're welcome.
Full of coke. Like, be so weird.
Yeah. Maybe the board, Dwight Schrute in the chat says, maybe the board itself was made of cocaine. So you'd have to melt it down or break it down when you get back. All right. Well, moving on. Diablo, good luck. We're looking forward to your stuff. And you got a new showrunner.
The new guy, though? Who's the new showrunner?
His name is Joe Shelley. Joe Shelley is his name.
Do we know anything about Joe Shelley?
Nope. Just that he was on the team and moved up into this position.
And all right, well,
about it.
Bring it, Joe.
Yeah, don't, Joe.
Be the one. Be the chosen one.
Be the chosen Joe. Let us
chosen
know.
Chosen Joe. Be the chosen Joe.
Yeah, the chosen Joe.
Diacho.
Diacho. You know what today's title is, or today's show title will be? The Chosen Joe. There we go.
The Chosen Joe. Yeah, we're naming our show after you. Do not let us down with Diablo 4.
Don't blow that, you jerks.
All those problems, solve it. That essay that happens at the workplace, kick it to the curb.
Yeah. Good luck. We're behind you all the way. All right. PS3 and Vita. Remember those two consoles? Those were, you know, PlayStation 3, successful by all measurements. And PlayStation Vita, sort of okay. I actually really liked it. Super bum.
Vita sounds like an Italian dish or something.
It does. Some cheese the Vita. My problem with the Vita is Sony just stopped doing anything with it. They just kind of dropped it and treated it like it did not care anymore. In fact, I still don't feel like they ever made anything official about anything when they stopped supporting it, games-wise and stuff. But what they did do is they still had a store on there, and you could get certain indie games and things, but that was drying up very quickly because nobody was supporting it. So I don't even know what's on there today, but they're now going to very soon drop support for credit cards and PayPal. That means it's pretty much useless. And same for the PS3. You're not going to be able to use it to do anything. So if people are still using the PlayStation 3 store or the Vita store for whatever reasons you're using them, you will soon.
When did the Vita come out? Like, is it
08, 09? Was it something like that?
Oh, so it's been around for a while. I haven't really followed it, so I don't really know, but I'm like, you know, what's the life cycle of a handheld, right? But
well, for Nintendo, 2011, for so Nintendo, it's a lot years. Longer. Oh, I'm sorry. 2012 in the States, North America. So it's newer than I thought.
Does the Vita have physical media, like cartridges?
Yeah, it does. It has, you could do digital, but it also had the little, what were those called?
Okay. Shit. So it's not completely bricked if you have one. It's use it. But
no, I had the OLED one. It was really sharp, and man, I loved mine.
Yeah. Loved it. It's a pretty sweet looking console. I haven't thought about them in a long time, actually. So, had
durable sticks, you know, the sticks felt really good. And they just kind of stopped, like 2013 rolled around, PlayStation 4 happened. And they just kind of said,
Switch just like kicked them in the nuts. And they were just like, we're not going to do any more handhelds. Like,
well, I felt like they dropped away before the Switch. I think the 3DS kicked their butts. I think they were just,
that could be, but I mean, that might be it. Nintendo's had handheld dominance forever, right?
Like, yeah, they just dominate. So just tried real hard and
but that was still during an era where those games had to be modified to run on less potent hardware. Mm-hmm. Now in an era of Steam Decks and even the Nintendo Switch, like it seems like you can put your, like, you don't have to do much to modify software to get it on the handheld these days.
That's true. That's true. That's the other thing, so, is the Vita was incredibly hackable too. So people were constantly pissing Sony off with so much hacking. Same with the PSP before it. But chat room keeps saying UMD. It did not use UMD. UMD was an old disc format that the PSP used for games, movies, stuff like that. This did not have an optical drive. It was just a little card reader. But it wasn't an SD. It was like their proprietary memory stick. Yeah, that's
They're
it.
Still memory doing stick. That. Proprietary memory?
Yeah, it was called Memory Stick, and it only worked on Sony stuff. They refused to do SD cards. They just would never get on board.
That's been even console-wise. I wonder if they're still doing that with PS5. Because I know even for their main stage consoles, porting the software to PlayStation was a bit of a nightmare because of the way memory worked.
Yeah,
I remember they were talking about that. I think there was an Elder Scrolls that didn't... I think it was Skyrim. Didn't run as well. Wasn't there controversy when Skyrim came out that the PS4 version was...
Well, that would have been PS3,
not
I think,
as good,
right?
Or PS3?
Yeah, PS3 version
and
was not
and
good.
And the explanation came out that it's like the way that handles memory is different from every other. Like, it's it's really annoying. It has a limit on how much memory it has that's hard imposed by PlayStation or what. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I remember reading, it's old news.
Sony used to market on that. They used to say, well, look, we got the, what was it called? The Imagination chip or whatever the name of the... I can't remember. PlayStation 3 had a chip on it that was... They just were always like, yes, it's complex, but that means when you tap into its power, you'll be able to make even better games than anyone else. That was always their emotion engine. That's the name. Yeah.
Which emotion. Is true, but everyone's trying to make stuff for as many consoles and devices as possible. Yeah. So
emotion engine was the modern version of blast processing from Sega Genesis days. Just mumbo
blast
jumbo.
Processing.
Yeah. Do you remember that? It was garbage.
No, garbage. I don't remember that. It sounds like a Mountain Dew type of computing.
Dude.
Blast processing.
It was. Here, I'm gonna give you a commercial for that.
We'll blast your bits.
Here you
into
go.
Into rapid calculation.
Here's a Sega ad for blast processing. I'll play the audio here.
The Sega Genesis has blast processing. Super Nintendo doesn't. So what's blast processing do?
And then they'd show Sonic. Super fast action, it says. It's all a bunch of horseshit. Just a bunch of horseshit.
So just a faster computer. Like, it's just marketing, right? Like, I guess it's just trying to sell it to, you know, people who don't understand how computing works.
Yeah, and it really
blast
created...
processing!
It created, like, this real fight between Nintendo and Sega fans. Mostly the fans. I mean, I don't know. The companies were also competitors, obviously, but... It's very Coke Pepsi, man. Really strong, strong.
It's still
feelings.
Happening in 2021. Have you heard about this new Coke commercial that everyone's...
No.
That's been ratioed to hell and back again?
No. What happened?
There's a new Coke commercial selling Coke to the gamers. And it's what somebody would have made 20 years ago about selling a product to gamers, not understanding anything about the culture or anything. It's just really bad. People hate it.
Oh, look at this. Hold on. I'm going to show this because I don't think Twitch will care if I show it. Chat room, look at this.
It's an ad.
It's an ad. They better not care. They've cared before and I don't know why, but anyway, there it is. It's all esportsy. There's a bunch of orcs running around. This is not a real game. No, it's a fake video game. Oh no, the creature in the... Oh gosh.
He's dead and now he's gonna crack open a Coke.
Yeah, now he's gonna wake up. For the horde. There he is. He's up. This very hoardy, this very, very lizard.
Yeah,
but
he's out of weapons.
That hurts all right.
You seeing this?
Now they're having moment. They're having a moment of like... They're working together, the horde and the alliance. Oh gosh. I really hate this.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's... Why are they doing this? We are one Coke.
So the
away
idea
from
is he cracked
other.
Open a Coke and they realized they shouldn't be playing esports. They should all be friends and hold hands.
Okay, that should...
And then drink and then see, like, you know, be friends. Like, it so has nothing to do with esports or game. It's so, like, off... It was like made. That's the kind of thing that would pass muster 40 years ago or something, right? When people playing volleyball on the beach getting too competitive just remembered that they're supposed to be friends over a bottle of Coke. It's like, It just gaming culture in general is so sarcastic and jaded and like awful and memey and trolly. Like it's just it. Anyways,
I hate it.
So I think like the dislike, it's like, you know, 100,000 dislikes to like 10 likes or something like that. Like the poor people that pressed like on that video.
Well, it's horrendous. It's an embarrassment to America and the world. Yes. So good job. Good job, Coke. I like your Coke Zero, but that's doesn't mean you shouldn't change it. All right. What else is going on here?
Especially they face so much competition from other energy drinks. Sorry to go on about this.
But you're good.
Soda's like big in the gaming community, and they're like, okay, we're Coke. We got to get this one right. We have a lot of money. We're gonna make the best ad ever. The actual CGI is not bad, mm-hmm. and somehow they're just gonna be completely off message. I don't know.
So on to something you're gonna be stoked about: Metroid Dread. It's getting reviews. It's being well reviewed.
Send me that Patreon money, Scott. I'm buying. I want to buy it ASAP.
Yeah, look at this Metroid Dread review. Tomorrow. The Queen is back. All hail the Queen. Here's another one. One of the best action games of 2021 or of all time.
2021.
A slick swan song for a classic series. I don't know if it's a swan song. They'll do more if it makes money. Unless she dies or something in this. Let's see.
Some of the articles were weird. I read somewhere it's like the conclusion of the Metroid 2D series is excellent. And then the article says, well, we don't really know if it's actually the conclusion. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Don't say that then.
It's like the stuff we were talking about in Slack. I hate that. Drives me nuts. These are mostly positive. There's a couple of people that are like, it's not quite what you expect. Or it relies too much on the tactics of the scary thing chasing you. But this looks great. I'm in.
I don't know. So it's reviewing very highly. Sounds like an excellent experience. And I'm just happy to see it because, you know, I get scared of buying $80 games that are only 4 gigs.
Right.
On day one. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. So I bought a few duds, but this is going to be.
That's actually kind of funny.
I'm probably buying it tomorrow.
So does the size of the game throw you? Like if you're like, that's only 2 gigabytes.
I mean, one of my favorite games is Banished. It's like 50 megabytes or something.
I didn't know.
It's that. the price. It's not even the price for the size. It's just, you know, $80 for a 2D side scroll. I'm like, this better be a good game.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not buying just your average side scroller game for $80. There are 100 average side scrollers on Steam for $20.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting, and what I've read that interested me most was that it's a pretty large sprawling map.
Oh yeah.
And there is a sense that the game doesn't really, you know, everything isn't marked so you know exactly where to go. Like in an open world game, you're like, I go here. It's like there's a sense of it's a labyrinth and you've got to remember where things are.
Yeah.
It's like going through a maze and I'm like, okay, this sounds like Metroid. Metroid was all about where was that thing again and looking at your map and having a vague idea, but having to backtrack and find your way through. So, I mean, that sounds great. Yeah, I don't know. It just looks cool. It's cool as hell. Everything I see looks cool. Yeah. And not cool in a edgy way, cool in a Nintendo-fied way. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm excited. So tomorrow.
Soundtrack sounds great, too. Like, just it has the, you know, it's not like they've changed that aesthetically. They're really leaning into the Metroid feel for the music, too, which I like.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty down for this in general. I don't know. Metroid, there's not enough Metroid. They take forever to do anything, and we don't know when Prime 4 is coming out, and I love those games. I love the 2D Metroids. I love them all, so what the crap, Nintendo? Get it out. Get it done.
And, one of the other things that I read, too, just because this is interesting about why it would be a good to buy is that it actually uses the 2.5 dimension. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all 3D.
Yeah.
But they've added a lot. Like, apparently what I read is it feels really good to play. Like, it's not janky, like it's actually really smooth and really fun to control.
Yeah.
And overall I forgot what I was gonna say. I started watching the video. I was like, I look so good.
It looks really good.
But everything about it feels good to play, which is like really crucial if you got a game. Like, this is a genre of game that's been around for a long time with a lot of different entries into it.
Yeah.
This thing's gotta be like special, and I think that's where what I'm hearing is that it delivers as being like a special experience, you know.
Yeah. If it's, I agree. I'm one of those people that's like, if it feels good, I don't even care so much if the genre is not my thing or you know, there can be a lot of other issues with your game, but if it feels tight and mechanically like fun, then I'm way more forgiving of anything else. And I already like the setting and I love Metroid. So I'm in, man.
I'm in.
Yeah, that'll be great. Looking forward to that tomorrow. And then the big Twitch hack. Yeah, we're not going to ignore it. It happened. We'll probably talk about this way more tomorrow on the instance, just given the sort of big topic nature of it. But change your passwords and stuff. If you haven't, if you were already doing two-factor, probably change it anyway. Just wouldn't hurt. I did, even though I'm two-factored. And they released a lot of stuff on this thing. It was called Part 1. Twitch says these hackers are outside. They determined it is not an inside job or with any kind of inside help, which kind of blows my mind given how extensive it is, because you'd almost have to have inside help for the kind of stuff they got. Either that or Twitch has to answer for some security stuff like soon, because, whoo boy, it's bad.
Yeah.
But they were a bunch of password hashes were put out there. What else was put out? All the payment information for everybody who's either a partner or is otherwise getting some sort of money from Twitch was on there. And that includes this channel. People found it in there. They went searching and there I was.
Are we in there?
Oh, yeah. I'm way down there.
Well, you're a partner. I'm an affiliate.
Yeah, I'm a partner, but I'm way.
But even
way,
though
way,
like way. I'm very low, like I'm still apparently the top 2% of like accounts on Twitch in terms of that stuff. Ziggurat, you know, freaking viewer of my channel, looked that up. I'm like, how? I'm getting like $100, like $150 maybe off of what I do. I'm like, I'm the top 2%.
Yeah.
I'm the elite.
There's a lot. There's a what do they call that? The long tail of it includes a lot of people. There's a lot of people in that long tail. Then there's this huge jump at the cream of the crop. Number one up there, critical role.
I was happy to see it, because I'm like,
It
wasn't some like, I'm good at Call of Duty guy. I was like, oh, good. It's a, you know, lovely bunch of people.
Well, and knowing how much they give to charity and other stuff, like it's, I was actually really happy to see where they were. But here's the funny thing. That stuff isn't so much private information that was leaked. It's kind of easy to do the math yourself. Go to your favorite streamer. Look at the little thing that says how many subs they have. Do the math. You're going to find roughly what they get on a monthly, yearly, or whatever.
Isn't there like a, was it Twitch Tracker, I think is one, and you can go to Social Blade if you can find out. You can find out all about whoever's accounts online. That stuff's out there.
Yeah, so it's out there.
It wasn't exactly secret.
Yeah.
But I think because the hack made headlines, it was also a reason to keep clicks going by also saying, well, let's do a penis measuring contest here. You know, like, you're clicking on this article, you'd probably like this measurement article, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, we all looked.
Oh, yeah, of course. I was sure I wouldn't be anywhere near anything, but I was in there. They had some people were on there for, I guess there was some surprise in the top 10 or 20 who was getting what and why. And, of course, none of this includes any YouTube revenue or donation revenue, sponsorship revenue, or any of those other things are not part of this. This is strictly payouts from Twitch, which are primarily subs, bits, stuff like that. And it's spawned quite the conversation that we've had on the show before. Bo, you've talked about this a little bit. This weird asynchronous relationship we have with streamers and content creators, specifically in the Twitch arena, where, you know, some people just want to hear them notice you. Like, a big-time streamer, if he notices you, you'll throw him $20? Like, it's a weird thing.
But it's funny, when the homeless guy notices you, you're super irritated. Hey, this guy's like, hey, give me $5. You're like, no, thanks. But like, this guy who's just sitting at home doing nothing but playing video games. I like streaming culture, but like, you kind of like Scott, you put podcasts together, you draw art, you make things. This is work.
Yeah.
When I'm sitting around, you know, we're playing Deep Rock Galactic and making like fart jokes or whatever. It's like, you know, I'm getting paid for this. It's kind of like, this is funny. Like, and I think there's this little bit where I think a certain segment think it's like natural and I'm entertainers and it's to be expected. And I'm like, I guess, but you know, I'm just like, they got millions. I'm like, do they need that much just for sitting around playing video games? Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's a lot. It's a whole lot. It's the parasocial thing. Dwight Schrute in the chat brought it up and he's right. It's this, here's the definition of parasocial, if you've never heard it. Parasocial interaction, or PSI, refers to a kind of psychological relationship experienced by an audience in their meditated encounters with performers in mass media, particularly in television. Viewers or listeners come to consider media personalities as friends despite having no or limited interactions with them. It's described as an illusionary experience, such as media audiences interact with personas, i.e. talk shows, hosts, celebrities, streamers, fictional characters, social media influencers, as if they are engaged in a reciprocal relationship with them. The term was coined by Donald Horton and Richard Wall in 1956. I experience this in a small way. I have people who email and go, well, I feel like I'm right there with you guys on FilmSack, and I'm just part of the group. And, you know, that's part of this. We're all trying to, you know, we're trying to build an audience, and part of that is endearing ourselves to them. And Twitch is this thing, unlike old television, where you can literally throw money at it like a stripper, kind of. And I don't mean that in a pejorative. I just mean, like, you know, no, Bo could say something funny while he's playing.
Bring your boobs
a game.
Over here. It's $20. Right.
It's a little
that's
like
how
that.
It works, right? If you, I've been a couple of times. I don't like the strip club, but you sit in that circle,
yeah,
a weird circle in the stage, and you're like, you flash your money up, and they come over to you. That's
they do.
It
it's a little like that. Bo, like if Bo's playing, I don't know, Hades, and he does something really cool, and suddenly there's a free sub because that guy just loved what you did. Like,
I think most of my subs are pity subs. They're like, oh, this schlub. I subbed all these things I'm excited for, but this guy just, he needs to eat better. You know, here's $5.
Here's buddy. $5. Go get a sandwich.
I think the parasocial thing, it's like, it's a buzzword and it's indeed true, but I think it's too reductive for the spectrum of why people watch. I've watched a lot of streams. I usually watch people that are good at games. I want to get good at.
Yeah.
And I've got a game up in front and I'm listening to if it's Hearthstone, and maybe I'm watching Brian Kibler or Crip, and I'm watching how they play, and I'm like, oh, I'm learning. So it's not really a parasocial relate. There's more than just a parasocial.
It's more than that. Yeah, I agree.
That's the part, like, people are watching your show. This isn't they understand we're recording a podcast. Yeah. Maybe some people don't get it, but a lot of people just turned it on. They're just listening to a show, talking about things. So I find that part reductive, but I think a lot of streaming is that, like, there are streams I go in on and I'm like, oh, this guy's just being a turkey and people enjoy it, right? I call them the children show streamers. Like, mm-hmm. Guess what? You're in the shooting zone. And, you know, like they make, it's like, it's a kid's show. Yeah. And people, and the kids are like, yay, talk, you know, like, it's like, I don't have a lot of respect for that, as you can tell by how much of a dick I'm being about it. But I think that's the stuff that seems to get a lot of money is people, it's a form of celebrity culture ultimately.
Yeah.
That aesthetically they are feeding into the parasocial thing and they are selling that anybody can do it. Like, I think the thing with YouTube and Twitch, it's like, wow, look how much they're making. And now sort of buy into this idea that anybody could be doing this.
Oh yeah.
And then people participate and push the thing forward. And I feel like there are people that take advantage of that relationship that are content creators.
Yeah. There was a bit of a sub argument going on yesterday that I don't know how much, you know, to put into this, but I'll just mention it because I thought it was interesting. People don't like that the streamers they support who are pulling in $6 million in 18 months with just these subs, these bits, these whatevers, that when they show up on stream, they're all scraggly, their hair's not done, they're wearing a hoodie, they look like they live in a horrible basement somewhere, and their thinking is, and these are what other people were saying.
Picture one streamer in particular.
Yeah, there's one in particular. But this is what they were saying, and they weren't, you know, well, anyway, this isn't me talking. This is them saying.
Yeah, okay. Hey.
This is them saying, well, this is how they present themselves, but now we know they're sitting on 6 million large, and they still want to portray this thing like, look at me, I'm here Fortnite for the people, give me some, you know, like that whole thing. That was an interesting, like, subreddit. The subreddit was full of this kind of discussion, and I just thought that was an interesting little psychological twist on it all.
I mean, for sure, you know, it's sort of gauche to talk about how much you're earning, but yeah, if you're earning $5 million, I wouldn't want to jinx it by telling people I'm earning $5 million. I'd be like, well, you know, things are going okay.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. Glad you guys are here to make me feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's sort of like, well, would you feel a little better if I gave my sub? Like, hey, so, you know, like, it's,
yeah,
there's, I mean, in show business, not just streaming, there are disingenuous people and there are genuine
of course
people, and I think streaming's no different. I mean, I did watch Asmongold's video on this. And
he did he talk about it? I didn't know.
Yeah, you know, because like he looks like he lives in a hovel. Like his place looks like, you know, everyone's addicted to crack and they live in the house while they do it. Like, I don't mean that disparagingly. It's just dirty and dingy. And the camera quality is like not that great. And, you know, meanwhile, you see someone, a streamer like Pokimane or something, they've got a really nice house. Cool, no judgment, but they have lots of nice things. They kind of look conspicuous. But I don't watch the content enough. I can't imagine she's talking about her revenues with the people that she's streaming to, right?
Oh, of course not.
So there's you're not, if your deal is like streaming, I think means different things to different people. But I've always thought it was like, let me turn my camera on, let me hang out with some people, you know, and even back in the Justin TV days, right? Like, let me draw this thing. Here's a stream of my iguana just hanging out. You know, it's just like it's real life happening now and it's not this manicured product. And, you know, like Dr. Disrespect is like a WWE star. Like, yeah. I mean, is the whole thing, and it's do it yourself. Should be very proud to be your own business person, I guess. And you did it all from your own thing. But like, right. It's a children's show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this manicured production, like, to me, goes against the point of streaming, which was just like, yeah, show up in your skivvies and hang out. But now we've gamified it to the point where revenue matters more than the communal aspect of it. And that's happening in the MMO space, too. It's not just... Actually, I had a thought. I'm glad you brought this up, Scott, that I think one of the reasons why MMOs are in the state they are is because streaming overtook it as the social center. Mm. For the experience of it.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about when I used to play, I'm like, I didn't used to watch streamers. So I used to pay a lot of attention to the other players in the world with me and interact with them. But if I'm looking over at my stream, listening to that guy or girl talk, and then talking in that chat, then how invested psychologically am I in the video game experience I'm having?
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I think even though Twitch is cool, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have done that, I think it actually has ruined the online gaming space that we all...
Well, it's definitely altered it. It's altered it. I don't think anyone could argue that it hasn't altered, whether it's altered in a good or bad way or whatever is arguable. But I kind of agree with you. It's like it's just.
But I guess I would say it's in a negative way where before when Burning Crusade area, I wasn't watching a stream. I was in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, you're playing World of Warcraft.
Who's that night elf?
Right.
Maybe it's a lovely girl and I could like meet that. You know, maybe it's a wonderful person. Maybe it's a dating opportunity. Uh-huh. Maybe I'm going to kill them and make fun of them and bully them or something like. Yeah. There was a sense of adventure because I was like, I was concentrating psychologically on the game. And I wonder if now we don't care that much about what's going on in the game because we care about how much streamers money they're making and who said something inappropriate and et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. Well, we're living in a time where this stuff is still trying to suss itself out and this hack is making the conversation happen. All right. Well, that's really all the news she wrote. Not a giant week for news, but enough to talk about. But now, what we played. No Dear Martha this week, except I guess I could go... whoops, that's not the right thing. Hold on. No, that's you. My dearest Martha, John's not here, not doing one. Okay, that's all that is.
you forgot the last bit.
Oh, yeah. What was the last bit? What did I miss?
Yours truly.
Oh, yours truly. In this life and the next... Naked Man 54. Anyways, what was I saying? Games. We played some games. I played quite a few games, and I kind of had a bit of a tear on... Whoops, camera went weird. On Game Pass. So last week, you and I talked briefly about Scarlet Nexus, and I was saying, oh, yeah, that's on Game Pass. And you're like, oh, it is? I wanted to try that, and we had a little discussion. So I thought, you know what? I need to play that so I at least can come to the show and say... Scott tried Scarlet Nexus, the hot new anime property from Bandai Namco.
Bandai Namco.
So I did. And here's what I have to say. Okay, let me back things up. And John would have loved to have heard me say this. I hit a bit of a wall in New World a little bit. I kind of got to a point where I went, whew, I'm crafting a lot of things, and what am I doing? And am I having fun?
Don't let the Final Fantasy 14 players bully you.
It's not that. I promise it's not that, because I didn't run to that game either. But I just had this feeling like I would be enjoying myself more if I was on a couch. I think that game needs to be on consoles and stat. I think that needs to happen. because I think that game just is a good controller in your hand. Do shit, move around, have fun, lay there, fall half asleep on the couch. That's what I think should happen with New World. Anyway, so I'm just taking a little break. I'm not done with it. I'm going to keep at it.
That's the best review of a game, but okay.
It's a terrible review.
the last part, you're like, fall asleep.
Yeah. I mean, you don't.
It's a good game for when you're half asleep.
Yeah. Like, I'm in no position to give it a full review anyway because I'm not.
But I know
enough.
What you mean. It's a passive, casual kind of game.
Yeah. I kind of wish I could play it more passively than I can on my PC. But anyway, so while I took that break, I played Scarlet Nexus, which is a anime as shit game. I don't even know how to explain how anime it is. It is probably the most anime game I've ever played. And that doesn't mean it's a bad game. It just means that if you're into anime, you might love this. You might really love this game.
I mean, it's the cast of characters. It's the tropes, right? There's the nerdy guy who's right, but nobody listens to, but it's because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
He poses it as it's because everyone else is kind of dumb and he's misunderstood. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's a bit of that, but it's also very relationshipy. Like, it's super like,
yeah,
to the point of nauseam. Like, it's just really like, oh, okay, you like that girl. I get it. Now, do we have to talk to her? Like, a lot of that stuff going on. The actual gameplay and the world and the action is awesome. I love it. I would play more of this, and I will play more of this because that stuff is rad. And the fighting, I would compare to, like, you know, Devil May Cry maybe, or maybe a little bit of the Hair Lady game. What's it called? Bayonetta.
Yeah, I mean, it's an over-the-shoulder third-person action game.
Yeah, and it's very Diablo.
It has levels.
Very Diablo, because everybody's pooping out gear, and it's color-coded, and, you know, you're putting on new gear and new cosmetics and all of that. And the world is this crazy future Neo-Tokyo style crazy world with, like, just amazing visuals. That's one thing I want to say early and often. It's beautiful. The game is breathtakingly beautiful. Like, the environments are amazing. It suffers a little bit from, I'm running down the street and I can't go into that alley for no good reason other than there's an invisible wall there and it just doesn't want me to go there. It happens a lot in Japanese
very
RPGs.
Very corridor-like, for sure.
Which happens. But the character designs, like their abilities, the minute-to-minute action, the fighting.
I found using the abilities fun because it does a flourish with their face, and they go, "I'm gonna help you." Yeah. You know, like, it's like, "Oh, this is cool!" Like, I really digged that. Like, you know, the way they do it, and it doesn't last too long. It's so brief, but it takes up so much real estate on the screen. It has, like, an emotional impact.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes it fun.
Yeah,
it
does. I totally agree, and I think that stuff is cool. The way it handles your powers is, when you're on your own, you have kind of a limited set. But if you're out palling around with one, you know, I can't remember any of their names. They're all hard names, Japanese names to remember. But you're out there with this girl, and she's got fire abilities. She's a firemancer or whatever. Instead of you having fire powers, you just borrow hers on a cooldown. So what Bo was talking about is, I'll hit a key, or I hold down one of the shoulder buttons and activate. I think it's B or something. I'm playing this on Series X, I should say. It's on Game Pass. You'll suddenly have all her abilities, and you'll have them for a period of time. Then they'll go away, and now it's on cooldown, and you'll have those again later in the fight or another fight or whatever. So it's like you have those powers, but you're borrowing somebody else's because they're fighting with you. And that's just kind of cool and unique and interesting. And I really like that part of the combat. I think traversal's great. The running and jumping and just all that stuff feels good. Menus are a little obtuse, but that's okay. You can get used to it. That stuff's awesome. The minute they start talking to each other, I want to gouge my face out with a shovel. I hate it. It's bad.
Like, you mean, like, not in the cutscenes, but just as they're walking around? They're like,
all of it.
Do you think this person likes me?
No, the running around I'm okay with, because I'm running around, I'm making progress, even though she's talking my ear off. It's fine.
It's the cutscene stuff, I guess.
Yeah, cutscenes. And the cutscenes are cool. They're like comic book almost, kind of, transitional and cool. Like, graphically, they're kind of cool. But it's just like a lot of, and then like, oh, look, it's me. I saw you at the academy. Oh, yeah. What are you doing here? Like, it's just a lot of shit. It's just bad.
It is. But if you're into that kind of thing, there's a lot of it. Like, there's a lot to like.
Oh, yeah, right? For sure.
Like, you know, it's not just a little bit. There's a lot of it.
Yeah. But I do like, so in the combat, one of the things is you've got telekinesis powers as a base power. and you can grab. I'm playing the dude, so I can't speak to the girl. I don't know what her stuff is. She probably has similar stuff, but maybe some tweaks. But and you intersect with that other character all the time, even though you could play her directly or play him directly. But anyway, one of the conceits is you build up this psi power basically by fighting, and when that builds up enough, you hold a trigger button and it'll grab objects in the world, like a giant cement barrier or this huge vending machine or a car, and it will huck it at your enemies and stun them, hurt them, otherwise part of the fight or whatever. And it's great. I love that shit. I could do that all day. I love that feeling. It's a little like Control in that regard, just grabbing shit and throwing it at things. What am I trying to say? The creatures in the game, they don't vary a lot. You kind of fight the same stuff a lot. That's okay, though, because, again, the combat's really fun. And it's really, really cool looking until everyone opens their mouth and you're like, gosh, dang it, this is bad. Also, the music is horrendously bad. Like,
I don't remember the music, so I can't speak to it.
I wish I'd have recorded some so we could play it here. It's so bad. Someone go listen to it, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. I had to turn it off.
Just one of you, someone.
Yeah, just someone take the bullet. But I turned it off because I hated it so bad. I hate that music.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, so I turned that off just now, sound effects and vocals and stuff.
I think it's like your standard strings and high tempo.
Worse than that. It's not even that. It sounds like a bad. It sounds like a rejected Animal Crossing soundtrack.
Oh, jeez.
It's so bad. Okay. I don't know who was thinking what. It was really odd.
I don't remember it. It's not what stood out to me about the game, I guess.
Yeah. But it's cool. It's I may be sounding negative, but I'm going to give it a recommend here. I think I'm not super far, but I'm far enough.
You didn't pay $80 for it. You got it on Game Pass to try out. So
I paid full price, I'd probably be looking to return it, because this story stuff is just not doing it for me.
It's not the whole package for you.
Right. If it was, this is probably amazing for somebody. Somebody somewhere is like, oh, these are my favorite, because it's like that manga I read where the guy just talks to girls all day. Like, that stuff's fine. And whoever that's for, I am so happy for them. I really am. I'm not, none of this is meant to be like, you know, no judgment here. It's just not my kind of story. And I wish it wasn't so silly, because like the post-apocalyptic sort of dystopic ideas and visuals are really way up my alley. And, an anime aesthetic is never the problem for me. It's usually storytelling, or the kind of storytelling that an anime tells. So anyway, despite all of that, I think it's pretty rad. And the fact that it's on Game Pass makes it kind of a no-brainer. I played it on PC and Xbox so I could test cross-play or cross-save, rather. All that stuff works great. No issues. It runs extremely well on my Series X. And yeah, it's cool. If any of that sounded like stuff that's people's jams, you should probably check it out. If you have Game Pass, it's a no-brainer. I also played a whole bunch of State of Decay Juggernaut Edition, which I did not expect to do.
Juggernaut Edition.
Yeah. So State of Decay 2 came out for Xbox One and, maybe on PC, or I guess Game Pass PC when it finally happened, but Steam just got it not long ago. Anyway,
okay.
Juggernaut Edition is them going back and saying, we're going to tweak this thing out and do a bunch of new graphic stuff. We're going to use the latest Unreal Engine for part of it. We're going to make it Series S and X, enhanced or whatever. And they did all of that. They also changed the tutorial, and they also changed the starting area to be just better. They rewrote a bunch of stuff. So I thought, well, I'll try this. I like State of Decay 1 and 2 when I played them. I played a lot of 1. I don't remember why I fell off 2. It's good. I just fell off. That game's great, dude. That game's great. I
remember looking at the first one a little bit. I mean, zombie games are just not
right
my thing, but like,
they're more my thing as a setting than maybe for you, but I think it's the loop. I like the whole like liberate areas and open up new zones, and
that part does appeal to me. Like, there's a certain game where you sort of do base building, exploration, bring resources, make it better kind of thing, but like, I can't just play any game like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I totally get that. And I'm not.
It's also a co-op thing, right?
It does have co-op, yes. I have not messed with any of that stuff, but it's absolutely co-op. The thing
there
about
is a game in this genre that has always like gotten my piqued my interest, but I hadn't pulled the trigger on, which is this Tribes of Midgard game.
I've seen that. How is that? Did you play it?
I don't know. Like, I keep looking at it. It went on sale for $20, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, it looks like it's like Diablo, but it's also, you know, those StarCraft levels, not tower defense, but base defense. Like, you have a base, you got to protect it from the onslaught. Then you go out and collect resources to build a better base.
Yeah.
And then you keep leveling up your Diablo guy to be able to fight the last boss. And it's procedurally generated. Like, a lot of it sounds good. And you can have up to 10 players on a server. So, I mean, State of Decay sounds somewhat similar in that sense. It's multiplayer, right?
Yeah, but it's only a single co-op friend type multiplayer. It's not
like
a land. You know, it's not like a bunch of you can occupy a server and do different stuff at different places. It's more like, if I had to compare it to anything, it'd be like, I don't know. There's GTA stuff, which you could, you know, cyberpunk stuff even. I don't mean cyberpunk themed, but like do a mission and come back and benefit this way because you did the mission. You know, there's a lot of that in there.
Right.
But the character switching makes it even more unique. People get tired and sick. They need to go back and get rest. You got to find medicine for them out in the field. You got to fight zombies. You got to try to open boxes quietly. So if you make a noise, a bunch of zombies don't come kill you. Just a lot of sort of interesting mechanics. The game, first game did a lot of that too, but this one is a much more visually pleasing affair. They just redid the UI. Actually, the one I'm showing on camera right now is not even the new UI. This is the older version. But the new UI, I think, is a lot smarter in a lot of ways. You got to make sure your truck has gas in it. It can get busted, so you got to find toolkits to fix it. You got to make alliances with people you find. Just a sandboxy, you know, mission-based campaign-y thing. And there's extras I haven't looked at. They're like DLCs that are now part of it. But I can tell you, it looks really nice. It runs at a 60-frame-plus clip for me on the Series X, and I assume PC's probably looks just as good. You know, it's, in some ways, it's middleware, the ultimate middleware. The first game was like a Xbox Live Arcade summer thing.
Yeah, I remember the film. I think that's where I played it. Yeah,
so it was never, you know, it was never meant to be a AAA title, but with 3 on its way and Microsoft backing it, I feel like maybe they're headed somewhere with it. But I think 2 is really good. And so I played a ton of that, got really sucked into it, and played more of that than I expected to play. So there's that
game. By the way, speaking of zombie games, that Back for Blood is out next week.
Oh, is it?
Tuesday.
We all got.
Yeah, I do like the Vermintide style games, even though I think we should be saying it's the Left 4 Dead style games. That's the genre defining game, but
yeah,
it is coming out next week.
When's that 40K game? Is sometime soon. That next year now?
Oh, that got delayed. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's next year now.
Yeah, all it's right. Delayed. I'm not thinking about Darktide right now.
Well, that and Darktide will be on Game Pass, so I'll get them when they get them. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. That'll be good.
You think Back for Blood will be on Xbox?
It is. It's already. It's pre. You can pre-install it right now.
We should try and organize a multiplayer session of that.
Yeah, I do that.
Xboxes.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'd love to play that. John's got his. I got mine. You got yours. Let's do it.
And it's on Game Pass. So like, so easy just to get together and play. Yeah. That's the one aspect that I do like because I play Sea of Thieves on Game Pass as well.
Yeah,
it's just nice to have a multiplayer experience that is just like everyone's got, you know, an Xbox and Game Pass. Boom, you're all playing an online game together.
Remember
he has to make a GameSpy account and
play
on the same platform and, you know, everything else.
The old days of making that kind of connection were rough.
Oof. Yeah.
GameSpy was
someone had to host
it,
so whoever had the best modem connection would host the thing. Like, it's kind of great in a way. We are kind of spoiled, at least compared to how we used to do things.
Super spoiled for sure. But I'm glad we are where we're now at.
But even for Xbox, we don't have to actually buy like an. So I think, does PlayStation still do this? I know Nintendo does it. In order to play online, you have to buy a pass just to have online facilities.
Well, technically, you're getting Game Pass is that pass if you didn't have game.
But you're getting the games too, so it's easier. It doesn't feel like I have to buy this extra thing that's like an invisible purchase.
Right.
You know, like that's how Xbox, what would they call it? Like gold or something like that?
Xbox games with gold. No, Xbox
gold.
No, Xbox Live used to be the thing you had to buy just to play online.
That's it. Yeah. Like, I bought an Xbox. I want to play online. Well, you have to get a Live account, and it's going to be $16, or you can spend $60 for a year. So I'm like, man, I have to spend another $60 to play online? Yeah. What is this?
It's pretty ridiculous. You're not wrong. Then the other game I've been sleeping on way too long. Everyone told me to play it and said, look, if you like God of War or if you like some of these, you know, big-minded, story-based adventure games of the modern era, then why aren't you playing A Plague Tale: Innocence? And then I saw the trailer for the sequel that Microsoft showed off at their last thing, and that looked really good. And I went, oh, yeah, I never even touched the first one. So I started playing A Plague Tale: Innocence. And I don't know what took me so long. This game is rad.
I downloaded that game 3 times and then cleared it to save us off space and didn't play it. I'm like, this looks interesting. I want to play it, but maybe later. So you pulled the trigger.
Yeah, you should play it. Yeah. It's really cool. The story is really dark, but in a way that I really like. It feels like the stakes are real. It's set in plague times, medieval times. You're this primarily this French girl who's there's a whole story about what happens, and I don't want to spoil too much. But
does it take place on Earth or is it a fantasy?
No, it happens. It's an Earth thing, and it happens during the Great Plague.
So you're literally a French girl. It's not
you're literally
a French voice actress and.
Yes.
In Rivia or whatever.
And the girl doing the voice is the girl that I loved in that last campfire thing from the No Man's Sky guys. She's amazing.
Oh, you played her stuff for us when you
talked about that game. She has an enchanting voice. It's just she's amazing.
Are you showing gameplay with a little kid? Is it multiplayer or is it just a,
no, it's just
a
you.
Mechanic in the game?
It's your little brother and you're trying to survive with him. And in some ways it reminds me of you remember Ico? Those old Ico games.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going on because you're kind of trying to stay with him. Some of the puzzles require you to let him go and go do a thing to open something while you go on the other side and things like that. And in some ways, this is the God of War part. Well, the God of War part comes in a couple of ways. One is graphically, this is on par, dude. It is a beautiful effing game. Really, really nice to look at. And controls really nice and all of that. It feels, you know, as triple A as you can get. The other part is that it's this little boy and you're trying to save him and help him. And it just reminds me of the father son thing a little bit that was going on in that new God of War.
Yeah. He's a game mechanic, but also character and relationship there.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of crafting and some other stuff to make your sling better and all these other things. But, I'm probably, I don't know, 3 hours into it. And
is there a lot of rats?
Oh my,
that's what I got from the trailers. Oh my rats, gosh, dude.
So the rats are the plague, basically. The game, while the game is not a supernatural game, not yet anyway, that I can tell, the rats sure make it seem that way. The rats are horrendous and they're all infected and they all want to kill you and they're afraid of light, but that's about it. And when you get swarmed with a rat, let's see, I've got a scene here somewhere.
It's like a light version of Vermintide, basically. Is it kind of what it's like?
Kind of, yeah.
Vermintide is the rat people that you're bashing them. And this one, I take it you're not quite as much of a warrior in this one.
Yeah, you're not giant axe wielding Norse mythology.
Yeah, it's more of a puzzle based. Oh, their eyes glow.
That's the other thing.
Reflecting off light, eh?
And cool. They swarm, and the engine is capable of some crazy shit. Like, the rats move in a way that is very disconcerting. This scene soon.
I do need to play this. Like, I have looked at it and went like, oh, this, like, it looks really cool. Yeah. It looks really well done. But what the trailers don't really do is give you a sense of, like, you saying it's like an Ico game. I'm like, oh, so it's sort of it's a puzzle game.
Some.
With a very strong narrative. Like, I'm not playing an action game or something like that.
Right. It's a weird combination because there are moments of action, but a lot of it is just like, well, if we're going to do this, we have to do this. And then you find the way to do it.
Yeah. Maybe like a mild hybrid of some action, some platforming and puzzles, and then a lot of, you know, quick time events.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
an overall fun experience. Like, it just, I found the trailer didn't really communicate. It communicated a lot of story and not, I never really got a sense of what the gameplay was. So you've told me more than all the trailers I've watched.
Yeah. It's definitely one to try. It's on Game Pass. So really no excuse, but also I just didn't know this existed. And I didn't know what this was. And it's so much more than just like, oh, some indie game or whatever. Like, I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but
I think a lot of people are skipping over this one. Cause it's like, it looks cool, but it's, you know,
yeah, they need to check it because that sequel looks like it's going to really be amazing and even better. And, you know, and again, this game runs at like a beautiful clip. It's just smooth and fluid. And she's about to walk over by some rats, which is you got to see that before we turn this video off, because it's so cool. They're like, someone in the chat called it fluid dynamics. It is a little bit like fluid. The rats move like waves of rats, and here they go. They're all scattering. Oh, they're just so shitty. You just want to kill those effing rats. But the game's not afraid to, like, you know, there's a monk on the ground with his torso laying there because the rats ate the rest of him. And, you know, they're not afraid to get to some pretty dark places. The story's a little bit dark. But again, very rewarding. I really feel the emotion of these characters so far. And I'm not that far in. But it's cool. Big thumbs up so far for A Plague Tale: Innocence. And I feel dumb for waiting so long to play it. Finally, I played Phoenix Point, also on Game Pass, and newly last week on console. It was on PC already. This is their year one edition, vastly improved over the original release. For those who don't remember, this is the team led by a dude who was one of the first. He was one of the creators of the original XCOMs back in the 90s. And this is him doing his take on the idea of what the XCOM games have sort of become or whatever. And it is absolutely one of those, man. If you like XCOM, chances are you can probably like this. Probably a lot.
Oh, hang on. Is that on Steam?
It's out on everything. But
Phoenix Point Year One Edition?
Yeah. But Game Pass is where you can get it for nothing.
Oh, it's on... Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, these are all, everything I played this week, Game Pass. All of it. It's...
Something $16.99 on...
Yeah, it's not... Oh,
it's
not
on
even,
sale right now.
It's not even... it's on sale. They're doing like a free weekend or something right now. They're trying to... Really trying to... You know, push that this is like a year later. We've really polished it, and they have. It's a much, much improved game.
There's a lot of expansion content. So if I had to, because I'm seeing two, I don't know. Anyway, sorry. You go ahead. Okay. I'm just that like, oh.
And this includes everything.
You said this is like XCOM, and I'm like, oh, I want to play immediately.
Yeah. We talked about it, I think, back in the day. I'd played it when it first came out because it launched on Game Pass. It was an early Game Pass game for PC, and it had problems, just a lot of bugs and was glitchy and.
It was like an early access thing, though, wasn't it?
Or? I don't know. Maybe it might have been. That's a good point. It was originally a Kickstarter and then made its way to there. So now it's on Xbox. For some reason, the games don't do save sharing, whatever you call it, cross save. I don't know why. Can't figure that out. But it doesn't matter because I really like this kind of game on my butt. So I'm playing this on my couch. Got great controller support. And... It runs like a dream on the Xbox. I'm not even messing with the PC version right now. And it's good. It's like what you want. It's XCOM-like in lots of ways. In some ways, more complicated and more like the old XCOM. And in some ways, a few things I think are a little more intuitive and easier than the new XCOM games. Like, it's got a nice mix of things. It's not, you know, I don't think they have the money Firaxis has to throw at things like this. But it's pretty damn good. And if you like turn-based strategy where, you know, a bunch of squads are going out to kill aliens or whatever, this is that.
Well, I should probably just get back to XCOM 2 at some point, but I was looking at these kinds of strategy games and I was eyeballing this JRPG version of XCOM called Troubleshooter.
Yeah.
So it's like, this seems like a new experience, but it's very, you know, high school XCOM, but Japanese high school. But now that I know you reminded me of Phoenix Point, I might just skip Troubleshooter.
Yeah. you might like it. It feels very at home for me as an XCOM fan. Like, immediately you name your dudes and, you know, customize them and all that stuff. And they got cool weapons and, you know, interesting moments. A lot of verticality. There's a lot of, like, 40K style jetpacks on some of the guys. They can jump up to higher places. And just a cool version of one of those. I really liked it. I'm not super far, but I enjoy what I've done so far. So I'm going to keep
at that. It looks like there's a world map, and you go around the map.
Yep.
Get encounters.
Then you got your base, you know, where you're upgrading all your shit and flying around the world to do your missions. And, I mean, it's very much that template, but... And some might say, well, you're just lifting it from XCOM. Well, yeah, the guy made XCOM, so maybe he can make another game that's a lot like that.
It's a game in that genre.
Yeah, that's how I'd look at it.
And it's like, I don't think anyone's really made a good remix. You know how, like, Vermintide is a remix on the Left 4 Blood genre, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's the exact same template.
Yeah.
With some differences. You know, if someone could do a medieval XCOM. Oh, like, yeah, you fly on Dragonback to go to different parts of whatever fantasy world. Like... This is a good idea. We want to make a
That's
game.
That's a really good idea. That's a
like,
great idea.
I don't know. Your home base is this crazy castle with magic towers in it. And then you're like, oh no, this continent of French orcs is under attack. Let's go save them. And then you get on your dragons and
French orcs. I like these French orcs you're talking about. Let's learn about those.
The orcs. We are doing Makgarad today.
I mean, there was a King Arthur themed one of those, but that's not quite the same. I want like full fantasy dragons and all that.
Really? There was a King Arthur?
Yeah. What was that called? It might be still in early access. Steam. What was it called?
Say Fantasy XCOM.
I know the name of this.
Are there any XCOM games? Oh, there's a Reddit thread. Let's see.
There is. I can't think of the damn name of it. Oh, it's going to kill me.
It's anyway. Not King Arthur, right?
No, it's like
Fire that. Emblem has come up as a thing.
What's the Midgard? Not Midgard. No, my lord. I just can't think of it. I mean, Divinity is basically that, but without the base and stuff.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, like, there's a lot of turn-based games. But we're talking about a turn-based tactical.
Yeah.
Tactical game in that style where it's not really an RPG.
Yeah,
it's a tactical game of, I mean, XCOM kind of is an RPG in the sense that hitting is based on dice rolls.
Yeah.
But I think the closest we're going to get to something that isn't XCOM was going to be Midnight Suns, even though it's got card game mechanics, but I think it's,
I found it. The name is King Arthur Knight's Tale.
You had the name.
I did. It's a terrible name. I really don't like the name.
Was that? I remember hearing about that. Was that a fantasy? Oh, still in early access.
Yeah, it's in early access. So I, you know, maybe hold off. But it's reviewed well, and it's all fantasy shit. Like it's like
actually, this looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks neat, right? The graphics look nice. It looks really cool.
Oh my god!
So. This is one to keep your eye on. I'm gonna
wishlist that one. Yeah, I know. Because I was just thinking, I'm like, wouldn't a fantasy, like, just for variety, and like, I'm looking at a picture of this headless guy who's got like three skulls resting where his neck is.
Yeah,
it looks pretty badass.
That's cool. Here's one of the reviews says XCOM 2, but set in ye old times. Base building like XCOM, smooth combat like XCOM, graphics are good. Blah blah blah. So there's some quirks and issues right now, but, you know, early access. This is one to keep your eye on, though. Could be good.
Early access by Neocore Games. Oh, shit. Neocore, they made the Warhammer Diablo.
Yeah, kind of, basically. Yeah.
And they made the Van Helsing games.
But this name.
Damn.
King Arthur Knight's Tale. The frick. That's a stupid name.
It's not their only King Arthur. I think King Arthur is, because I'm looking at all the games they've done. They had done King Arthur Fallen Champions.
Oh, so maybe it's a series of things.
Oh, they have King Arthur 2, the role-playing war game.
Oh.
So I think King Arthur, that's what I was thinking of. King Arthur, the role-playing war game. So they've already done two King Arthurs, but I don't think it's XCOM-style games. These look like...
Yeah, there's something else.
These look like Total War style games, and like the last one was for 2012. They're 10 years ago.
Yeah,
that reminds me. I think they're revisiting a franchise and doing XCOM.
It's like the first Divinity game was like Diablo. It didn't play like they do now.
Yeah,
which is weird.
I don't know. Well, I wishlisted. I have fantasy XCOM sounds.
Yeah.
Sounds like we don't have enough of those.
No. No. In fact, it sounded for a minute like we invented it, but then we found one. But yes, I'm
like, I get that a fantasy XCOM is basically Divinity. Like, move your guy here, swing your sword. But you just don't want all the pen and paper sheet stuff. You just want...
Yeah.
It's not enough. You don't want those RPG mechanics. You want there's an ongoing evolving crisis. It's a bit roguelike. You have different, it's tactical.
Yeah.
Tactics are the focus.
Yeah, it's a different animal.
Not you don't want to have like, what's my skill in thievery? Mm-hmm. I don't want that crap in this, I guess.
Whoa. Square Enix is making a JRPG XCOM game called Project Triangle Strategy. Have we heard of that?
Oh, I thought I heard of something like that. Mm-hmm. Project Triangle. I think that was in one of the showcasey things, like on the Switch.
Triangle
project, yeah, it was in one of the directs. I actually kind of saw this,
right?
But I decided to put it out of my mind because it's called Project Triangle Strategy. Well, I know Japanese names translate weird, but I mean, goddamn, like, fire your localization team. Oh, my God.
I mean, maybe that's code, you know, like code name, and they're not done yet. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. And aesthetically, you know, aesthetically, this looks like one of those. Yeah, it doesn't look good. Not, sorry. I mean,
it might be.
This is not what I'm looking
for. But that's not what I'm
looking for. But maybe it plays better than it looks, but it's, I'm really, it looks like Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
And I tried playing Octopath Traveler a little while ago, and I'm like, I appreciated that it looked nice, but I'm like, I can't sit and play this.
Yeah, that's also like a game. Yeah, it's a Game Pass also.
I just think it looks ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about this. Yeah. It looks like they're really mining the old Final Fantasy Tactics kind of vibe. So maybe that's the point. I don't know.
It's lacking a little bit of the. There's a certain ruggedness to XCOM.
Yeah.
And like King Arthur has that, where it's like not just art aesthetics, but like hunkering down, feeling like.
Yeah.
It's really a dangerous scenario. When you have just a bunch of nice pieces on a crazy looking chessboard, it's not really what you're. There's certain like indelible aesthetics to the XCOM style that if you talk about it, you realize how silly it sounds saying like, I want something that's this. And you're like, well, there are lots of games. And you're like, no, it's not that.
Yeah.
There's a very specific vibe that you get from those tactical games.
Well, I got good news for you because Phoenix Point is totally that. That vibe you're talking about.
Phoenix Point looks like that. And Midnight Suns looks like that too. Even with the card elements, yeah. I get a feeling. I get some feeling of that.
Absolutely.
Still remains to be seen.
Oh, very excited about that. Hopefully that lives up to what I'm excited about. All right. That's it. That's all I played. They were all great though. I'm telling you, Game Pass is a hell of a value if you're just like, man, what itch do I scratch right now? And there's like something in there. There's something in there.
You know what's going on with me? I'm having the opposite. It's not a bad thing, but it's like I go in there and it's like 52 channels with nothing on. Remember the Bruce Springsteen song? And
yep.
We used to flip through channels. I get a little bit of, there's all these games I could play something. And then I'm like, it's too hard to decide. I'm going to watch Seinfeld.
I do this literally on Netflix and other streaming shows. Same problem. And I end up, there's so much original content on streaming channels. I'm like, I meant to watch this, and by the time I'm done, I'm like, I'm just gonna watch Futurama until I fall asleep.
Yeah, now's a good time to watch one of those things I saved on my queue, and you're like, I don't want to watch any of those things. Like,
yeah,
they're just not pulling you enough. Like, you're gonna see Dune. It's got us by the shorts, like in a heart, like in a, you know, there's not gonna be like, maybe I don't feel like watching Dune. Like,
no,
like,
that we're didn't happen. Watch that, right? Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, but like, so like a lot of stuff you throw in your queue is like, well, it looks interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like Scarlet Nexus, I downloaded it, but I was like, well.
It's cool.
Well,
what's funny is of all the things I got hooked into, it was State of Decay 2 that held me the longest, and that's old. Like,
well, sometimes you load up a game, like I think that's my Skate 3, where it's like, this is an old, it's a kind of a, it's old, I shouldn't be playing it at all, like, yeah. But I'm like, I like it.
We're in a time of embarrassment of riches across all kinds of media, and choice paralysis is a thing. And how much brain power you want to throw at something. And so if you just end up watching King of the Hill for the 9 millionth time, it's okay, guys. It's okay. Yeah. So you didn't play anything, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's talked about a pre-show. It's not some big thing. I'm having, like, back pain issues. And most of my gaming is at the PC. So I'll sit down and try and boot up Divinity or something. I'll be like, I don't feel the most comfortable. I'm going to go lie down or sit on a couch. I just don't... I have my gaming console in my bedroom right now,
yeah,
which is a bad thing because I need to be going to sleep, and sometimes I'm up watching TV, and I, you know, it's hard when it's in your bedroom. You're just like, oh, I got to get it out of there. But I just have been watching Seinfeld and stuff, so I think it's just one of those weeks where I can't really sit at my PC too much, and I'm trying to sort out my back pain issues. Sure. And maybe it'll pass. Maybe it's just this week, but I'm planning to play a lot of Nintendo. Yeah. So even though I didn't play much games this week, Dread comes out tomorrow. I want to buy it and play it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that I can play anywhere. It's on a Switch.
Sure.
So, you know, I can get comfortable and play that game. And it's my birthday this weekend.
Yeah, baby. That's right. And, happy early birthday. I knew it was, but I'll give you a proper one later. But yeah.
So happy birthday. I was on the family call every week. My family does family call. You know, so we started that with the pandemic, and you know, we do a video call. And it was just me and her this week because everyone was busy. And she's like, "Well, it's your birthday this weekend." And she couldn't resist but show me what she had gotten me. And she poked a little box of Breath of the Wild into the screen. I was like, I've been wanting to play Breath of the Wild, but I just haven't been able to pull the $80 trigger on this old game. Like, go on sale or something, damn it. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I know I'm probably going to be playing Breath of the Wild in 2 days as well. So,
very nice. I'm excited for you to play Breath of the Wild. I need to...
Happy 60th. Dude, what the hell?
60th, jeez. I'm not even anywhere near that. Wait a minute, though. You're going to have to get back to me on the breaking weapons thing. Because
I'm gonna have an opinion on it now.
Because I'll bet you like it because you're gonna like the strategy of it. I could be wrong. That's just gonna be my bet until next week when I hear about
it. Yeah, it's hard to know. I picture it like durability in any other game, annoyance. So, but maybe you're right. Maybe I'll, you know, we'll see. I'm gonna play it. I'm playing a lot of Nintendo this weekend, finally.
I mean, I think that game is like as close to perfection as games get. That's how much I think of Breath of the Wild. I think it's amazing. I just think that part ruins it for me.
I mean, it's universally acclaimed, and, you know, it's hard to, even though it looks good in trailers, it's hard to tell what makes it a 10.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, even compared to, like, other Zeldas and stuff, but I'm going to taste the sauce for myself. I mean, I even have people in my family who don't play many games who've played Zelda and, like, this game is amazing. And just, like, everybody universally agrees.
Yeah.
So between Metroid Prime and Zelda, I'm going to have like a Nintendo ass weekend. It's going to be kind of great.
I think that's awesome. All right. Excellent. That's what we played this week. We hope some of those sound fun to you and that maybe you check them out. Now time for this.
That's a good question.
Quick email from a listener. This is from Thomas Alley. Alley, I guess. Anyway. I sent this to talktothecore@gmail.com. Hey guys, wanted to chime in on your talk about people making fun of Amazon for running out of New World servers and having long queue times. I work as a cloud architect for a software and service company, and just wanted to say I totally wouldn't have been a matter of having enough servers for them. You have to remember that Amazon Web Services is truly massive, and New World could have been scaled up to as many servers as they needed to handle the load without running the risk of being saddled with extra equipment after the initial launch spike, since AWS is all virtual and on demand. The New World launch would have been a pretty small blip on their radar. I expect that the core of their problem, the core of their problem, was more about the bottlenecks of internal services that handled things like distribution of players to servers and brokering those connections. That's a hard problem harder problem than just grabbing more disks, cores, and memory, Thomas. Well, that's great insight, actually. Here's what I assumed, and I may be totally wrong about this, but when Amazon or any other big conglomerate has a subsidiary of some sort, they want that subsidiary to subsist without needing them all the time. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
all right, we bought you now. Shut up and make us money.
I mean, part of it is like when they bought Twitch, they don't want Twitch to come to them every 5 minutes and go, Amazon, we're all out of something. Okay, here.
Amazon, we're out of security software. Right. Our Symantec ran out.
They want them to be self-sufficient as much as they can be with the heft and the money and the backing of them. So I guess what I'm saying, it's like your kids. You want to help them out. They get in a car accident. You want to like, okay, I'll help you or I'll cover the cost. Or, you know, you do what you can for your kids. But you don't want to cover everything for your kids all the time. You want them to be strong and independent on their own. You can be mad at Amazon and hate them. You hate all the rich things. I get that, people. But what I'm saying is, I don't see why this would be any different. This isn't Amazon Prime, no pun intended, going, we're making a video game. This is a thing that they built to say, look, you're over here making a game and you're doing your own thing. So whatever you do and need is going to have to, you're going to have to really figure this shit out. And we're here to catch you, but we're not going to do it for you. That's how it feels to me. I could be totally wrong, but that's how feels like to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how all the underlying technology works, really. Everyone just says, more servers. You don't have enough servers, idiots.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, none of us know what we're talking about. Thomas sounds like he's someone who knows, you know, boots on the ground what the actual challenges are, like technologically.
Right.
And not the mythological ones that we invent on.
Yeah. And online. I think he's right. Like, the more I think about, Amazon certainly had the capacity. Whether they wanted to just give the capacity, I don't know. But his point about other bottlenecks and services that are affected in other ways, people don't know about those. So everyone out there complaining, Amazon's too big. I can't believe they... Well, there are just other issues. But maybe it isn't so many servers. Again, like you said, it's all virtualized. I mean, we live in the future, man. It's just, I mean,
I guess on some level, all of that stuff is managed by software as well. And if there's problems with the software, throwing more servers at it doesn't alleviate that issue. You know, it could be a number of things. Really. Yeah. There's probably 50 points of failure on making a smooth launch for a company that probably hasn't really ever ran an MMO before. So they're learning. Like, WoW is what it is because of years of trial and error.
Exactly.
And they were able to grow with the problems too. Like, now we're like, be as effective as Blizzard at your MMO. It's just, it's preposterous.
It's a high
customers
ask.
Are customers.
Yeah. But they, I mean, again, they have to be, I don't know if they have to be congratulated, whatever the word is, respected maybe at having what is otherwise a very smooth launch. Like, queue times aside, they didn't have big glitches or crashes or wipeouts or suddenly nobody could see each other. Or like, they didn't have those typical MMO launch problems. Their problems were just, I have to wait to get in line. And I don't know, that feels like progress.
They were
like
all over anyone naming their character after Jeff Bezos. Yeah. I mean, you gotta look at the positives as well as the negatives.
Yeah.
Wait time's not so good, but characters being named after Jeff, not very many because they had a team on that. You know, you gotta evaluate the whole thing.
I love that review on Steam. Let's see if I can find it.
It's the guy who keeps making Jeff Bezos names, and they keep getting taken. He keeps getting his name reported.
Did I end up? I think I put that in our Slack, didn't I? It's really
I've seen it. I know what you're talking. I don't remember exactly what it was, but Jeff Bezos of two E's. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah, like, I found it.
His enjoyment from the game is just trying to sneak in a Jeff Bezos named guy.
Here it is, chat. You can read this. This is pretty funny. So it says, "Why can't I?"
I think it's kind of racist. I can make the name Oprah Winfrey in like 50 games. I used to call my characters Oprah Winfrey.
Really? You used to do that?
Yeah, like in Planet Side and then also Oprah Winfrey.
You were Oprah Winfrey in Planet Side?
Yeah, when I played on New Conglomerate, I was Oprah Winfrey.
I don't know why I love that so much.
I liked it because it was just so like, this is a shooter game, and why is Oprah Winfrey in here shooting people? It's awesome. Like, whatever. Now in games, like, don't name it after Jeff Bezos. Don't take your head. We can't have the ex-CEO be a character.
I don't know why I find that so freaking funny. All right, so this guy put, make character, Jeff Bezos. Name gets deleted. Jeffy Bezos. Name gets deleted. Jeff Bezos, you can't stop me, he says, and then gave it a thumbs up. So some people had more fun in that game than maybe they were supposed to. But it's a weird thing, that game and its launch and all the discussion.
There's nothing like a really great name.
Yeah.
And
people my are
favorite,
in now.
Over the years, my favorite, I think, is still Affirmative Action Jackson. What? That's my favorite name I've ever seen. It's just because it's affirmative action, right? Yeah. Where no comment on whether good or bad or whatever. It's just, it's a thing. And it's controversial, so it's provocative. And then Action Jackson, the great action movie of the 80s with, who is it, Billy Dee Williams is in it?
Billy Dee. No, not Billy Dee.
It was Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers, right?
Yeah, I confused those two a lot. Yeah. Action Jackson, boom, like a classic 80s action film, all mashed together into one name. The best name I think I've ever seen over the years. I still remember it, and I saw that name, I think, 10 years ago. me and Crofton laughed so hard, I got killed by Affirmative Action Jackson. We're just like, ah!
My favorite is, I think it's Creamy Armpit. I think that's a good one.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Armpit. It's pretty gross.
It's pretty gross.
What's the cream made out of?
I don't know, but there's a guy in that Sword of Legends game running around named Creamy Armpit.
Oh, and there's an Indian, like Hindu remake of Action Jackson. Oh my God.
What? Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
That wasn't even successful here. Why did they decide to remake it anywhere else? It was not a big hit.
Here's the poster. I'll post a picture of it.
Shut up, dude.
I mean, I don't know if it's just they named it and didn't realize it was a movie or whatever, like, you know, but
I love this. What's it called?
Action Starts Tomorrow. That's the tagline.
Action Starts Tomorrow.
Wow. It's like the world's most procrastinating action hero will be here tomorrow.
We'll be here tomorrow, we think. Yeah. Check in the morning. We'll let you know.
Oh, you know what? You know what's interesting, too? In the Action Jackson poster, the log line is, it's time for action. So I wonder if that's even intentional.
Oh,
like,
oh, maybe.
Like, he's a lazy version of Action
Jackson. Have you ever seen screenshots or video from the Indian Terminator?
No, there's an Indian Terminator.
Oh, yeah. India Terminator. movie. I'm going to find you a cool thing here. It's so
Craig T. Nelson is in Action Jackson. I forgot.
Was he? Oh,
Coach.
I like right? Coach.
That's Coach, right?
I'm a fan of Coach.
Yeah, Coach is, I think, a villain in this movie, Action Jackson.
Here it is. I'm putting it in Discord so you can see it, but it's really, you should seek out video. There's some really amazing fight scenes, and the guy's of guns. He can basically just turn into a whole ton of guns, and that's him. He looks more like Elvis. I don't know what's going on there, but
yeah, no.
it's so good. It's a really good. Seriously.
I'll be back, baby.
YouTube Indian or India Terminator or something like that, and you'll lose your mind. It's fantastic. All right. That's it for your emails. Thank you for that, Thomas. And if you'd like to send one in like him, talktothecore@gmail.com is the way to do it. We usually just read one, but if you guys have a couple of short, really good ones, we might read two. I don't know. We'll think about it. Also, don't forget, you can support this show by supporting us over at patreon.com/core show. How else will Bo get the new Nintendo game? How else? But through your gracious support.
I will be playing Dread thanks to the support of all the fine listeners of Core.
That's right.
It will be your donation to my happiness and well-being.
That's right.
My Dread.
And your Dread. Yeah, he'll be running away from that robot knowing that you guys made it possible. So please, patreon.com/core show beckons you. Head on over there now and make your claim. Lots of cool stuff for doing that, by the way. You get benefits for it, including bonus content every single week. So go do it. Patreon.com/core show. Frogpants.com/core is our website. That's still a place you can go and hang out and be and find all the things you're looking for. And if you can't find them, just let me know. I'll tell you what's going on. CorePod on Twitter. John_Jagger on Twitter. He'll be back next week. Bo Schwartz, of course, and me @ScottJohnson. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. And as always, we record live most Thursdays, unless we tell you different, at 5 p.m. Mountain Time over at twitch.tv/frogpants. And we'd love to join or have you join us there. That'd be great. I think that'll do it. Bo, word of wisdom.
I knew this was coming. Tune your guitar.
Yeah, tune your guitar. That's good.
Tune your guitar, damn it.
Yeah, you slackers. What are you doing? Go tune your damn guitars.
The guitar that is your life.
That's a great idea. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.